Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Welcome to Texans on Tap. I'm Brandon Strange with Charlie Polillo and Josh Jordan. You can read their work on sportsmap.com and follow them on X at Polillo and at JoshJordan975. The Texans look to start streaking the other direction after old yellering the Cowboys on Monday Night Football. We're going to get to all that and some Texans news and preview Titans Texans. But I think we should address first some comments we've been getting on this channel and some similar sentiments that we're seeing from Texans fans on social media regarding CJ Stroud. We knew after his breakout performance last season that there was a chance that we could see some regression or a sophomore slump from CJ Stroud. I'm not convinced, though, that that's what we're seeing. So I just wanted to open it up to you guys. So, Charlie, let's start with you. Do you think CJ Stroud has regressed, or is he just navigating a weak O-line and loss of some critical weapons?
I think that there has been some factual statistical regression. I don't think there's anything that should be causing alarm. He had one of the greatest rookie seasons, arguably the greatest rookie season any quarterback has put up statistically. And a career isn't just linear, that you start at your baseline and you just get better and better and better until your peak, and then you start to drop off. I mean, some of the numbers, there was probably a little bit of good fortune for C.J. Stroud the entirety of his rookie season, throwing just 5 interceptions, 499 pass attempts. So virtually 1 per 100 attempts. Well, last season, you know, he had more than 5 balls that could have been picked off, a deflection that winds up hitting the ground or caroms to your receiver, or a pick that someone flat out drops. Like in baseball, in a given year, a guy may seem to have an inordinate number of his line drives be right at someone, and it depresses his batting average. And in another season, man, he has a lot of bloops that seem to drop in there and pad that batting average. I think there's a little bit of that with C.J. Stroud. His quarterback rating is down some. His QBR is down slightly, but nothing that is in free fall. And I think while he, 2/3 of the way through the season, essentially, is not a strong candidate to be named one of the 3 Pro Bowl quarterbacks in the AFC. How many teams would still rather have their quarterback versus C.J. Stroud for the rest of this season, much less going forward? Right? In the AFC, the upper crust, Lamar Jackson is 1, Josh Allen is 2. Patrick Mahomes is in double digits in interceptions. But obviously, he's still a Pro Bowler. He's the young goat in the game. And then C.J. Stroud falls in somewhere not far behind those guys. Joe Burrow probably ahead of him, maybe Josh Herbert this season. So at worst, he's still upper middle class, and this is a second-year quarterback. All in all, everything is just fine. You alluded to some of those other factors, injuries, the offensive line, all of last season, including getting knocked out by the Jets and missing 1 game. So 16 games played, C.J. Stroud was sacked 38 times in his rookie season. 11 games into this season, he's already been sacked 35 times.
That's a big part of it. And I think Kenyon Green's a big part of it. And he got hurt last year and didn't play that much. But he played a lot of this season. And he was the main reason that CJ was taking so many hits. It was a big problem. And I think it's getting better now. I will say Stroud does have a passer rating of sub 80 for 3 straight games. So that's not great. But I look at the Lions game. He was good in the first half. He wasn't good in the second half. People are wanting him to throw more touchdowns. A lot of this, I think, is based on fantasy football because he was kind of a darling coming into this season. But CJ hasn't put up big fantasy points. But a lot of that is because Joe Mixon has joined the team. You look at the Cowboys game, how many touchdowns was CJ going to throw when Mixon scored 3 rushing touchdowns? So much of the production is coming from the run game, which we should consider a good thing, that the team's a little more balanced now. And so I think the other thing is, he's not throwing late in games when he doesn't need to. When you have a good defense and you're trying to hold on to the lead, didn't make a lot of sense for him to just fling the ball all over the field against the Cowboys this past week once they had a good lead in the second half, get out of there with a win, especially coming off of two losses. And then you look a couple weeks ago, that Jets game, what, he gets sacked 8 times? So that's got to be part of it. And the other thing I don't hear anybody talking about, CJ was on the injury report with a right hand injury last week before the game. He practiced, but he's dealing with a right hand injury. That's his throwing arm. So he's got something going on with that, and that's going to affect you if you're a quarterback, clearly. So I wonder if, as we go over these next two games and then we have the bye week, maybe CJ comes out a little healthier in a few weeks and we see the CJ Stroud old a little more consistently.
I think it's silly to be so critical of CJ, especially considering where the other quarterbacks from his class are at right now. Bryce Young benched, Anthony Richardson benched. So have some perspective. I think the good thing is the Texans have an opportunity to get back on track because they don't face a team above 500 until December 21st against the Chiefs. And that takes us into our game preview. Titans come to NRG with a record of 2-8 on a 2-game skid. Texans are heavy favorites here. We talked about the inconsistency of the offense, but the Titans are surrendering 28 points per game this season. What does Houston need to watch for from the Titans defense to prevent any sort of trap game pitfalls?
Texans boredom, thinking it's a 3 o'clock game instead of a noon game. I will say this for the Titans. It's a bizarre stat, and there are some reasons that go into it. Among them would be flukishness. Second overall in the NFL in total defense, meaning yards per game allowed. Tennessee's the second stingiest D in the league. Well, if other teams have big leads on you all the time and they're just running clock and running the ball. But that is weird for a team this bad and be giving up as many points as they have. They're second overall in total defense. The Texans are number 4 in the NFL in total defense. The Titans do have 2 very good interior defensive linemen. And what's the biggest question on this Texans offense? The interior of the offensive line. Jeffrey Simmons is a stud who's having prime years wasted on this lousy Tennessee team. And rookie Tavondre Sweat out of Texas, 360 pounds of roly-poly fun, had some character questions coming out of UT that pushed him down into the second round, but he's having a solid rookie season by most accounts. The big thing with the Titans, and it's the number one variable in any game, turnovers. Titans don't take it away at all. 3 interceptions the entire season, all by Amani Hooker, who's a nice safety. They went out and spent huge money to lure Lajarius Sneed, Pro Bowl All-Pro, a cornerback from the Super Bowl champion Chiefs. He had 0 picks the first 5 games. Now he's going to miss his 6th consecutive game because of a quad injury. All right, if you're an elite corner, sometimes you don't have many picks because people don't go after you. Well, what about all the other cornerbacks on the Titans? They collectively have 0 interceptions from a cornerback this season. I don't have the stat geek data in front of me, but I mean, 10 games into the season to have 0 interceptions from a cornerback? I don't know if that's an NFL first, at least in the modern era of passing offenses, but obviously no one's been any worse than 0. So I think the Texans, if they avoid the giveaways, they're going to gain yards, they're going to score points. And just don't give Tennessee's offense some easy scoring opportunities, because that side of the ball, I know I'm cheating ahead, is just an absolute mismatch in this one.
Yeah, for me, Jeffrey Simmons is the guy that you worry about the most. He leads the way for them with 29 pressures. He moves around a little bit. So I heard Nick Caserio talking on their YouTube channel that they kind of see him like they saw Micah Parsons last week, that he can move around. They need to be able to account for him. Don't let him wreck the game. And then Charlie pointed it out with their secondary. I mean, they're just in trouble. Awuzie's hurt. Sneed's hurt. He's not playing. So they've been rolling with Daryl Baker Jr. and Jarvis Brown-Lee Jr. Like, these guys are not playing well for them at all. So Texans have a huge advantage when it comes to that. And PFF identifies Brown-Lee Jr. as the big vulnerability for the Titans in coverage. So he's been really bad. They think that him and Nico Collins is one of the best matchups this week that you can capitalize on. So I think you could see he lines up left side. Nico lines up left side, I think about 40% of the time. So I think that's a big matchup they'll look to exploit. And Charlie was right about Hooker. They have 3 interceptions this year on the Titans. He has all 3 of them. So, you know, maybe you worry about him a little bit. They've been actually pretty stingy against the ground game, so we'll see how the Texans do it this week. that's a problem still for the Texans. They're, according to PFF, they're 27th in run blocking, 15th in pass blocking. So from those numbers, that just tells me that Joe Mixon's doing a lot of this on his own. He's probably going to have to do it again this week.
Yeah, and you hope you play well enough. The two worst teams the Texans have faced, they've blown them out. Well, they have faced Jacksonville once, but Jacksonville early in the season was not established as complete garbage. But they blew out New England and obviously taking the Cowboys behind the woodshed. Winning this game easily and a little earlier on, right? The Cowboys game was one-score game in the third quarter. Joe Mixon's been tremendous. He's also carried the ball now at least 20 times, five consecutive games, which doesn't make him a ticking time bomb, right? The injury was an ankle as opposed to a quad or a hamstring. But a lighter day, actually a lighter 2 days ahead of the open week to have an as fresh as possible Joe Mixon for the stretch drive and the varsity games upcoming against the Chiefs and the Ravens would be very nice.
Charlie kind of alluded to this. The Texans defense has carried this team all season. On the other side of the ball, the Titans have only averaged a lowly 17 points per game this season. Charlie, what do the Texans need to watch out for on defense to keep Will Levis and the Titans from, I guess, getting loose?
This is an oversimplification, but how about nothing? The Titans, they have nothing. Relative term. I mean, they overpaid to Lord Calvin Ridley from Jacksonville. He has 36 receptions. An okay number, except that he's the only wide receiver or tight end on the Titans with more than 25 catches. Right, the Texans have four guys with more than 25, and Stephon Diggs closer to 50 than to 25. Ridley's the only guy over 25. I mean, Tony Pollard is an okay back, but it's a quarterback league first, and the Titans don't have a legit one. I mean, Will Levis has the big arm. Maybe he matures him into a good quarterback, but he's not one now. Eight touchdowns to eight interceptions, missed three games injured, giving Mason Rudolph an opportunity. Brian Callahan, their first year head coach, you know, a little bit of a question that'll be out there with Bobby Slowick. Boy, Brian Callahan was a lot more of a young whiz kid offensive coordinator when he had Joe Burrow to coordinate and Jamar Chase as his number one wide receiver in a really good running game with Joe Mixon when he was the OC with the Bengals the last 5 years. Now with the cast of not much he has in Tennessee, is Callahan's IQ dropped 50 points? I mean, their offense, they've scored what? More than 17 points once in their last five games, and that was 20 in an overtime win against the Patriots. This is a sad sack offense. The Texans defense should be just foaming at the mouth at the opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, the numbers really say it all. The Titans offense under 21 points in 9 to 10 games. You look at that, and the Texans defense, they're 10th. They only give up 21.5 points per game. Titans D, they've allowed over 23 points in their last four or five games. So it's just telling you, the number just match up that the Titans, they don't score more than they allow, and that's why their record is where it's at. And Charlie hit on it there. Pollard's really their second target at receiver, and he's a running back behind Ridley. So that's going to be the main thing. Keep Ridley in check. And once again, we're going to see some similarities there, kind of like Dallas, where Stingley, you take care of Ridley like he took care of Lamb. They're going to have to treat Jeffrey Simmons kind of like Micah Parsons, like I mentioned earlier. So Texans should be pretty prepared for this matchup based on how they had to get ready for Dallas. Other big thing, Will Anderson was back at practice this week for the Texans. Kamari Lassiter, full practice. Expect him to come back from that concussion. So Texans are getting healthy here, and if it's not just Danielle Hunter, who's been incredible, you put Will Anderson back in the fold and have them going after Will Levis. It could be a long day for the Titans. They are getting Levis a little more involved in the run game. You can see he has such a big arm. He likes to push the ball down the field. We've seen the Texans a little vulnerable to deep passes so far this season, so maybe that's somewhere their offense can make some hay, but I see the Texans getting healthy, starting to play at a really high level. I think Danielle Hunter has the most pressures in the NFL this year. So you add Will Anderson back. Danico Autry is starting to make an impact. He's a little nicked up. Hopefully he'll be able to go this week. But I'm liking what I'm seeing from the pass rush. And Derek Stingley's been amazing. So I don't see how the Texans don't come away with a pretty convincing win this week.
Okay, before we get into predictions, I want to get your final X factors on Sunday's game. Charlie, what's your final X factor or X factors you'll be watching for during Titans-Texans?
I just think an accumulation of the goofy stuff that can happen on any given Sunday, in this case, would have to pile up against the Texans, right? Giveaway, takeaway. The Titans are minus 11. Right? We highlighted they only have three interceptions as a team. The Texans have 14. Only the Raiders are worse in the giveaway, takeaway than the Titans. The Texans, meanwhile, are a plus 8, fifth best in the NFL. And I think that reflects in the records of these two teams. The Titans had a fluky 98-yard touchdown pass, still lost the game. But, you know, don't give up some cheap, silly score. Earlier this season, the Titans had two punts blocked that helped cost them games. Right? The Texans, hey, don't give up a punt block or a 79-yard punt return for a touchdown. If it's just about our players against their players, the Texans are just so vastly superior in this game. So avoid the goofy stuff. That's my strategy for this one.
Yeah, I think injuries are going to play a factor here for the Titans in particular on their O-line. Leroy Watson at tackle is not expected to play this week. Basically from center all the way to the right, center, right guard, right tackle, they're playing a lot of backups here. So with the Texans pass rush expected to be at full strength, I think that'll be the X factor. I think it'd be a long day for Will Levis.
I'm going to go with the secondary here because, Josh, you mentioned Lassiter returning and Stingley's been playing his butt off. If the secondary can just take care of business, the Titans have surrendered 12 sacks over their last two games. So if the Texans can stay solid in protection, their defensive line should feast on this weak offensive line for the Titans. Texans are as much as an 8.5-point favorite in some books. The total is 40.5. Before we get into Charlie and Josh's predictions, if you're watching this on YouTube, make sure to give us your predictions in the comments. Josh, this week we start with you. Give me your final score prediction, Titans-Texans.
I'm going to go Texans 24, Titans 17.
Boy, this to me, if you're choosing sides on the playground and once you choose them up, hey, these teams aren't fair. If the Titans were allowed to say for this game, hey, we get Danielle Hunter for our defense and we get Laramie Tunsil for our offense, the Texans should still be comfortably favored to win the game. I know giving near double-digit points can be risky in the NFL. Well, the Titans have lost their last four games around the win over the Patriots, all by at least 10 points. So I think the Texans, as they did with the Cowboys, as they did with the Patriots, they win easily, ideally early enough on that you can sit a couple of guys, limit snap counts. Nico Collins, his second week back, talked about Mixon earlier. I will go Texans 30, and let's call it an over, Titans 13.
I also have the Titans scoring 13 points against the Texans 27 points. I go 27-13 here. We know the story and the narrative about the Texans not covering for so much of the season, but I think this is one where they're just running into a vastly inferior team. And I think the Texans seem to be getting healthy right now. And so I hope this is them in the midst of being able to really take advantage of a weak part of their schedule. That's going to be it for this episode of Texans on Tap. We hope to see you back here live on YouTube Sunday late afternoon following Titans Texans. So make sure you're subscribed and have your notifications on. And we hope to see you back here then, hopefully to break down another Houston win. Until then, go Texans.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.